Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com. In this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zager and I discuss how to humanize data-driven marketing. We also discuss the changing regulatory environment around privacy and what that will mean for your customers and your business. Finally, we talk all about how to make personalization far more focused on the person. All that and more in the latest episode of Search Chat, coming at you right about now. Well, hey, Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Tim. How's your Monday gone?
It has gone spectacularly. All Mondays should go like this Monday.
I know a yourself? Hint of sarcasm, but you know,
No, it's all good. It's all good. How about yourself?
Good, good. It's you know, this is now the second week of the quarter, so you know I'm beginning to feel like, all right, well, the blush is off the first quarter. Now let's get back into the second quarter. So things are going well.
Absolutely. So we've got a couple of things to talk about this week, a couple of fun ones, and I thought I'd lead off. You know, no softballs. Let's get right to the hardball stuff. There was a really, really fascinating piece that came from eMarketer, where they talked to a bunch of different folks, and there was a study of U.S. marketers by the Winterberry Group and the IAB, the Interactive Bureau. Mm-hmm. And they talked to a number of marketers, and by far the number one thing that these folks said was their concern was going to, you know, hurt their ability to do their job better. And better in this case means more data-driven marketing.
Right.
Was government regulation.
Look at that.
Yeah, they saw that as the number one threat to effective data-driven marketing. And I just thought, you know who probably has a point of view on this?
I don't know, Tim. I don't know. I'm wondering. You know, this is something we've talked about a bit, which is, you know, what are the risks for us as businesses, essentially building business models? So for software companies like us, building business models that rely upon, you know, personal data. And for companies who are consuming that, to build business processes that rely upon that. And I don't know, I've talked to a bunch of people. There's varied opinions on this. Some are of the what I consider the head in the sand group, which are like, oh, it's never going to be an issue. And
And then
there are others, especially in industries like banking and insurance, who have the, turned the paranoid dial up to 13 and then they threw it away, right? Broke it, threw it away. So there's a lot of different opinion on that. But I do think that it's something we've got to keep in mind because, you know, GDPR is just a shot across the bow. And I don't think it's so much the regulation side of the thing, although that is the outcome, right? Greater regulation. Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually you and me and everybody else who is giving away their data for free are kind of getting tired being abused. I guess that's probably the best way to put it, right? Being abused by various and sundry companies. And by the way, I mean, I think this is clearly tip of the iceberg because we could see some of these companies abusing our technology. And it's like, so what don't we see? And and I think that's the fodder for additional regulation, that kind of sense of unease, distrust, especially because that trust has been violated many times over the past, you know, I don't know, pick your time frame, quarter, year, whatever. That distrust is well founded.
It's funny. I heard somebody once say, a friend of mine, and I would credit my friend if I could remember which one said it, but there were a group of us talking one night, and we basically got into a discussion about how, you know, as marketers, GDPR is our fault.
Yeah.
right? And not necessarily any one individual at the table that
night.
Well,
I blame you, but okay, fine. All right.
Right. But I mean, fundamentally, we did this to ourselves, sure. Right? We, when I say we, I mean the marketing community, yeah. By not being protective of customer data, by not being thoughtful about customer data, this sort of is the consequence, is people saying, legislators saying, regulators saying, you can't be trusted to do this on your own. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Now we're going to have to tell you how you can do it instead.
Yeah. Right? And, you know, I think that a lot of the kind of the marketing profession and how they use personal data is largely invisible. I mean, retargeting is probably one area where you're like, wait a minute, you know, it's clearly visible to the person who gave the data that somebody's using it for some purpose. And so that, I think there was a point in time, and again, retargeting might be kind of that moment in time when that really started, that people began to think, wait a minute, I can now see how my data is being used and is right. You know, kind of chasing me around. So that kind of then, you know, kind of parked in the back of people's minds. And you can see that manifest itself in various ways. But I do think it's the events, right? It's the Facebook problem. Mm-hmm. I'll pick your Facebook mm-hmm. problem, but it's the one of several Facebook.
Wait, which right. ones?
Yeah. So that's what I think really then brought this front of mind is, first, you kind of knew it was happening, and then you saw it happening, and then you saw somebody do something that was clearly beyond the pale, right? You said, I would not mm-hmm. have authorized mm-hmm. that. You know, yes, if Brooks Brothers retargets me for blue shirts 30 times in a day, fine. I already bought them. Go away. But when somebody is clearly using the data in ways that it's obvious, I would never have authorized that had I known. All of a sudden that voice in the back of your head is now sitting on your forehead screaming. And that's the problem for us.
Well, it's interesting because our good friend of the show, friend of the company, advisor to the company, Mark Schaefer, you know, has talked about in his new book why it's so important to be human in the way we interact with mm-hmm. people and the like. And it's amazing how, you know, some companies, some people, some professionals, either because their incentives lead them this way or because they just lose sight of it. You know, they get so excited by the fun of what you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Jurassic Park thing, sure. Right? You know, you think about what you could do. You never stop to think, is it something you should do?
Yeah.
Right? And if we think about customers as, you know, prospects or, you know, entries in a database or targets, it's kind of funny how we can, you know, treat them that way, yeah. As opposed to if we think about them as, you know, people or human beings, how maybe we might treat them a little differently, right?
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, like any toy, you know, data is fun to play with, right? You know, it's the things that you can do,
right?
If you only knew. And I get that is the allure of that is great, because when you can do one little thing, you know, the goal is to try to do one more thing.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting, you know, what you have to kind of figure out where that line is pursuing purposes for good or for evil. and I've used those mm-hmm. terms metaphorically, but, you know, I think it applies. You know, there's a, you know, when we look at search data and, you know, we take, you know, search data and we feed it back into the index. And, you know, the goal there is just to make search results better for websites, right? Yep. So we're not talking about Google or anything, right? But, you know, for a company's website, we're feeding that data, you know, back in to make search results better. And there's no human in there trying to pitch the product that you don't want or whatnot, right? It's kind of an altruistic purpose, if there is one, right? Where you're taking data mm-hmm. and you're using it to improve something that otherwise might not work as good. And that's kind of the white hat use of data. And, you know, again, you know, you start to shift down and I'll use retargeting as another example, right? So that's still pretty white hat. I mean, I like blue shirts, so I'm going to buy more mm-hmm, of those. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't buy them or I left, abandoned a cart, yeah, maybe that's a good idea to try to nudge me back to getting that. But, you know, how far do you go along that continuum before you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing? And like you said, if you're not kind of looking up and thinking about who is the human on this, on the other end of this, and how do they feel about it? How would they feel about it if they knew what I was doing? Would they say, yeah, that has a lot of benefit for me, thank you? Or would they say, I don't really want that. Go away. And I think that's, you know, as you said, the instinct that we don't always have, right? We don't always, look to that point.
Well, you know, it's funny. You just may have coined a phrase that I've never heard anybody refer to before with regard to this. But, when you talk about SEO, it's well known, you know, that there is a black hat SEO where, the dirty tricks to try to scam the, to try to game the system. I shouldn't say scam the system, yes. Right? Because it's Google. It's a technology company. You know, you're free to try to do that. It's not a good idea for business reasons usually, but certainly it makes sense from you're just trying to do what's right for your business in the short term,
right?
Versus white hat SEO, right? Where you're saying, no, we're going to play by the rules and we're going to keep our nose clean. And yeah, there's a little bit of gray hat there too. But I mean, generally speaking, you know, we think about SEO as being white hat versus black hat. And what I just heard you describe is essentially white hat versus black hat data usage, sure. Right? And I think that's a really, really good framing for how we think about it.
Yeah, I got to run down and copyright that. I'll be right back.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. There's another person I know who talks about this in those terms. Julie Ask at Forrester Research, and I may have mentioned this on the show once before, but she always talks about, you know, think in terms of Big Mother, not Big Brother. Right. How are you using the data to be helpful and, you know, supportive and nurturing as opposed to, you know, look what I can do. Yeah. Right.
That is absolutely right.
So that's great. So, but I mean, and I'm going to put you on the spot a little. I don't think you need to make a firm prediction here, but I mean, you know, are we heading towards a world where regulation is going to prevent us from doing the right thing? Or is there a way that we can work within a regulatory framework, whatever it turns out to be, and also do, you know, use data to create better experiences and also do right by customers all at the same time? I mean, is that a realistic scenario?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that it is definite that these regulatory frameworks aren't going away. Everybody talks about GDPR in California. Okay, great. But I think that we're going to see more and more of that. And I think a large part of that's going to be driven by humans saying, you know, enough is enough. And I think that voice is already at the table. I mean, anybody who pays attention to this knows that, you know, people are concerned about this. So I do think that the regulatory frameworks are going to continue to get refined. Whether they get stricter or just better, I don't know. I do think that one of the real challenges is going to be essentially this right to be forgotten, right? Can I have the ability to manage my own data? Because at the end of the day, if I could, you know, just get rid of my cookies on my machine and that means I'm forgotten by everybody on the planet, I think that would be desirable, right? I think that would be something that somebody would want. And so I think the technology is going to have to catch up a bit to allow this to happen. The challenge is, especially if you think about this white hat, black hat thing, all the white and gray hatted people are going to go, you bet, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll take care of that. You betcha. You still have to deal with the folks who, you know, don't live within any regulatory frameworks. And, you know, there's still going to be the people out there who are, you know, they're going to be those phone calls you get in the middle of the night that annoy you, but it's going to be on the run. That's the real challenge, is how do you prevent actors like that from continuing to bother you? And I got to tell you, I mean, at some point the technology is going to have to catch up, because if you think about it again, in terms of, you know, what percentage of the calls you get on your cell phone do you actually answer? It's, you know, 10%. Right. I mean, I mean, we're sitting here, my phone's on the table, it's muted, we've been talking for 13 minutes, and it's rung 3 times. So, and all of those I ignored. And I think to a certain extent, you know, take that and now think about it in terms of digital and what's going on on the web and on mobile devices. We're going to have to figure this out, right? How do you mute those conversations that you don't want to have? And so that then removes the incentive for black hat operators to actually do that. And so they'll go figure out what something else to do to make money. But that's what I think is going to have to happen, is there's going to be some regulatory framework that begins to look like people can manage their data. And then I think that, you know, the technology is going to have to take a step forward, just like they're going to have to get rid of spammy phone calls. They're going to have to get rid of spammy digital experiences.
No, it's a great point. What do you think about this idea? You know, when we talk about regulatory frameworks coming and the like, and I will admit this is a somewhat loaded question, a somewhat leading question. I love when
you serve up the softballs. Go ahead.
Well, but, you know, I'm concerned. You know, Mark Zuckerberg wrote this op-ed in the Washington Post a couple weeks ago, or about a week ago, rather. And I'm actually writing a blog post about it right now for our blog, so it's certainly top of mind for me, where he talks about four areas where he thinks there should be more regulation. Mm-hmm. And that's great and all, except for the fact that, you know, when you're Facebook and when you're Google and when you're folks like that, you're in a position to shape that legislation. And how much of that is you know, doing what's right for customers, and how much of that is pulling up the ladders behind them once they've already had some success, or some success in the case of Google and Facebook, extraordinary success, making it tougher for new entrants. I mean, just your thoughts on that. I'd love to hear.
I'm rolling my eyes. So if there's a video podcast, you see me rolling my eyes. I really love Kara Swisher and kind of her point of view on all things social. And I think she rolls her eyes a lot as well, although she's the queen of exasperated sighs and also very pointed direct questions.
Yeah,
you know, you know,
that was a nice exasperated sigh, by the way.
It just
that
drives me nuts. So these social networks created platforms, right? And they said, you know, whatever happens on them, not our job. And you know, I'm no Pollyanna, but some of the content that exists on these sites, whether it's terrorist training or, you know, pick your worst humankind sort of activity. And yet they feel, oh, well, no, we're just a platform, so we can't be held accountable and we shouldn't, you know, decide who should be on our platform or what they should put on. So that is coming home to roost for them. And I find it stunningly disingenuous for any of these platforms to have technology that knows that, you know, I want to watch this kind of video, you know, 4 hours a day. And when I watch one new video, that they know to test whether that new trend, I mean, the AI that is going on there is stunningly sophisticated. And yet they can't figure out, like, how to keep crappy content off of their platforms. It's complete utter BS. And for Mark Zuckerberg to then say, I'm the wealthiest guy in the world and I can't figure out how to, you know, I can figure out, you know, how to get you to watch more cat videos, but I can't figure out how to keep, you know, vile content on my platform. I need the government to tell me what to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think it's a little bit like this is the line that's getting cut from the blog post I was working on, but something about, you know, bank robbers blaming the police for not stopping them from robbing the bank.
Oh, it's absolutely the same thing. And I agree. From your blog post is a horrible line, but I think it, I mean, it really is. It really is.
Right. I mean, you know, it's this idea of I don't think that Facebook needs the government to tell them how to regulate. I think they simply need to be better self-regulated. And I'm not so sure Facebook has earned a seat at the table. I don't think that they are. I don't want to say that they're untrustworthy in the sense that they are evil or untrustworthy in the sense that they're, you know, a bad actor. I think they're untrustworthy in the sense that, like, your 4-year-old is untrustworthy.
I think that's great. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't let my 3-year-old do it. I wouldn't let my dog do it. And I wouldn't let Facebook do it. Right. So.
Right. You know, I don't think they are willfully trying to go out there and be, you know, evil. I think they are just sometimes so blinded. But it goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago, you know, what you can do versus what you should do. They're so blinded sometimes by what they can do that, you know, I don't know that they get a seat at the table, that they should get a seat at the table to say what everybody else should do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, as much as I'm frustrated by the fact that Mark Zuckerberg can't police his own, you know, business, at the same time, I agree. You know, they've already demonstrated that they're, again, not a reliable partner in being, you know, good citizens. And so, maybe time for somebody else to do the job. But just, again, I'm rolling my eyes. So
a friend of mine uses the line all the time about his wife, about how she rolls her eyes so hard she's going to give herself a concussion. So
nice.
So anyway, well, it's interesting because I think if we look at the two things we've talked about so far today, you know, one of the through lines that we see there is all about this idea of treating the customer as a human mm-hmm. being, treating the customer as, you know, an individual, and thinking about them on a personal level as opposed to, you know, just as a target, just as a prospect. And so I am going to turn this to something that's very marketing related and very much in our sweet spot. You know, there was a fascinating piece that Marketing Charts referenced that looked at the content that B2B marketing leaders think is important. So the data that we got on Marketing Charts said that, you know, half said that the content they receive is too fluffy and too jargony. These are B2B marketers. 41% said that they had issues with content not being relevant. And fully a third said one of their biggest issues was with content wasn't personalized to where they are in the buying process. So, you know, when we talk about especially the last two of those, I mean, obviously too fluffy, too jargony, there's probably some space there for personalization. But when we talk about the second two, those are undoubtedly personalization questions, right? You've got to be relevant to me and you've got to be, you know, targeted to where I am in my journey. So, you know, those seem like such huge opportunities and something we've been talking about for a long time. And when I say we, again, I mean the marketing community. You know, what's going on there? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's
why are we still having this conversation?
It's a big challenge of personalization. You know, it's funny. I was just before we got on here, I was actually looking at some e-marketer reports, and one was about customer experience. And, you know, I'm sitting on the fence, do I buy this or not? Because it talks about personalization. And I'm almost thinking to myself, what's been unsaid about this like gap in personalization, right? That's going to be worth, so I still might buy it, but you know, I was just kind of thinking about, it's like, what is unsaid? And you know, I think that notion of relevance and kind of tuning to the spot in the buyer's journey are kind of everything, right? You know, it's interesting that a lot of personalization is focused on kind of who you are. And trying to get at some of the, like, have you been to the site before and what content you look at and whatnot. And so I think that's still important because it's easy or relatively easy, right? Because there's lots of data. Right. Go back to all that data people have about you, right? You know, so there's lots of aggregators that you can purchase that information from these days. One of the things, though, that we've been looking at is actually that kind of where are you? And it's not kind of a spatial thing, right? Where are you on the site? It's more, where are you from a topic perspective, right? What are you thinking about now? And of course, we're looking at behavior and what you're looking at to try to discern that. And then essentially trying to do pattern recognition about everybody else who's been at that point in time on that topic and what are they interested in. So this is a place where I think maybe, and this is something, a term, you know, amongst the many terms I've coined, one I coined, you know, many podcasts ago around the creepy data, right? But it's that, you know, I think that's where you get in trouble when you expose the machine in ways that feel creepy. And so, you know, one of the things that we're looking at from a, both the relevance perspective as well as, and I think they're actually, it's both relevance, but it's different kind of views of relevance, but where are you in the journey? Is just that, is can we look at what your behavior is and map that to other behaviors that were leading to certain objectives and then perhaps give you content in that moment that allows you to get there. And, you know, this is a journey. I think there's a lot of R&D to be done here. There's a lot of catch up that, quite frankly, some core technology needs to happen. Although machine learning platforms are rapidly evolving, so no longer do you need a data scientist to write, you know, math equations. You can actually just pick it up off the shelf. But regardless, you know, it is an area. I mean, personalization is, we're still way far away from what I think, quite frankly, humans want, what I want, what I want my experience to be. And clearly there's a gap between what I think marketing people want, because I talk to them every day. And this is one area where I can just wind people up and get them started is around, you know, how do you make personalization more effective? And, you know, I think that if somebody does it right, they're going to say, hey, take my money.
And we're certainly doing everything we can to be the one that does it right, aren't we? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Steve, you know, we're starting to come up on time here, but if you had to think about, you know, again, this through line of the human and through line of how did we think about the person at the other end, you know, where can people get started? What can they do a little different today, tomorrow, you know, right after listening to this that can help them think about this from a more human perspective?
You know, it's interesting that when I talk to, I spend a lot of time talking to marketing leaders about two topics. One is essentially visitor journeys and all its manifestations. And those are usually very rich, rich discussions about hopes and aspirations. And the other place we talk a lot about is customer experience, which I think there is a lot less kind of clarity on what does that mean? Because to some people, it means, oh, yeah, I heard that term and I'm thinking about it, right? And by the way, it surprises me how many people are in that place. And other people have very sophisticated NPS feedback loops, and it's very, very cool. But I think that really is the heart of the human is, you know, we can look at the data and we can see the data. But I think that you also have to consider the human. And I think that is an area where, A, I have nothing to sell you, so I can talk about this without too much self-interest in it. But B, I think it really is something that we have to figure out is how do we bring the human more to the forefront of our decision-making about our experience so that we don't kind of turn into the Facebooks of the world and that we're, you know, again, thinking about this more human-centric and having conversations and delivering relevant content and all that sort of stuff. And so if I were to start somewhere, you know, it would be thinking about, you know, with the data science people, with the data people, is how do we get better visibility to the human in this? And, you know, how do we consider, you know, what is it that they want? And sometimes you might actually have to go out and ask them.
Words of wisdom as ever, Steve, and probably a great place to wrap up for this week. So as ever, thank you for all the thoughts and the great conversation. There you go. Fantastic. All right, Steve, great talking to you. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter, and learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.